Well, this morning we're going to be starting a brand new series, a series that I've entitled The Vine and the Fruit. I want to kind of give you a little bit of a roadmap because this is actually going to be a longer series. This is going to be probably one of the longest ones that I typically do. I try not to have really long series, but typically usually about once every year, maybe twice depending. We really take some time to really look deeply into some topics, into some things. Last year we went through the book of Philippians and spent a little more time in there. We've gone through the Beatitudes. We've gone through the book of James. We've gone through different books over the time that I've been here. And so usually once a year or so, I take some time to really dive into something deep, look to something a little bit deeper, focus in on that a little bit. And here's the deal. Like, I know that this is going to be a longer series, but I do want to let you know that we are going to have some breaks in the middle of this series. When we get to Easter, we're going to have an Easter message on that Sunday. We may even do some different things as we go. So this is going to be, I'm just going to warn you now, this is going to be a 10-week series, but not take 10 weeks. So we are going to have a little bit of break in here, but what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks is really begin to look a little bit deeper at not only the fruit of the Spirit, which that'll be something that we spend a lot of time on, but the vine as well. And this morning, what we're going to do is we're really going to start by kind of looking at the vine. We're going to be kind of looking at some important aspects of that. And then after that, starting next week, we're going to take each one of the fruit of the Spirit and we're going to look deep at it. We're going to kind of figure out like what it is. How does the Bible tell us to live in that way? And how does that really affects our lives? Because here's the deal. I don't know about you, but I grew up in the church and I memorized the fruit of the Spirit. I sang songs about the fruit of the Spirit. I remember when my son came home from preschool singing about the fruit of the Spirit. And I kind of realized that it's one of those topics that we hear a lot about. We know a lot about to an extent. But I'm just going to speak for me personally. I don't know if I always live it out. It's one of those things that we know and we've heard, but is it something that has really changed who we are and how we are living our lives? And so I know that with some of the things we're going to be talking about this morning, some of the things that we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks are going to be somewhat review for some of us. But here's the thing. Here's my prayer as I was putting all this together, looking at all these things. My prayer is that no matter how many times we've heard this, no matter how many times you've been taught on these things, that through the Holy Spirit, He will bring forth a new thing in your heart and in your life, a new perspective that you never had, and that we would be able to look at these things openly and honestly and really begin to see, are these things that are really actually taking place in my life? And so we're going to jump right in, and kind of this morning kind of has going to be a little bit of an introduction, but also a little bit also of a very important thing that sometimes we can miss if we're not careful. So if you have your Bibles, open them up. Galatians 5. We'll look at this verse or passage of Scripture every week. So if you don't have this memorized, you probably will in a couple of months. So Galatians 5, 22 through 23. We're just looking at the first part of verse 23, but this is what it says. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. I want to look at a couple things here in this verse that we're going to look at as kind of introductory. We won't do this every week, but I want us to look at a couple things so that we understand as we're kind of laying the groundwork for this series. But we have to understand, because sometimes we see that list and we see those things and we go, boy, that's a big list. That's an interesting list. That's a great list. But at the same time, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is the individual who produces these things in our lives. A lot of us think that it's us, and I have to produce these things, and I have to bring forth these things. That's not what Scripture tells us. That's not what Scripture teaches us. The Holy Spirit is going to produce these things in you and through you. Now, you have a part to play, and we're going to look at that part this morning, but you need to understand the Holy Spirit is going to do this in you. The Holy Spirit is going to work these things out in you. And then another thing I want to look at before we continue on. When you look at this Scripture, it doesn't say the fruits, plural, of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. When you go back to the original Greek that Paul wrote this in, he did not use, when you look at the word fruit, he did not use the plural version of that word. It is a singular thing. It's a singular thing. So when you say, you know, and we see it all the time. I think I probably have seen it on signs at Hobby Lobby, you know, about the fruits, plural, of the Spirit. There are no things as the fruits of the Spirit. There is simply the fruit of the Spirit. And so Knowing that, I told you again that first and foremost, the Holy Spirit's going to produce this in you. Because here's what I typically do. I don't know if you do this as well. Like, we look at these nine wonderful gifts, and then we kind of look at our lives and go, you know what? Hey, I'm doing 3 out of 9. That's pretty good. I'm pretty good here. Or here's what I typically do. I'll go, I'm really good at this one, this one, this one, and this one, and I'm really bad at this one, and this one, and this one. And we kind of excuse ourselves in a lot of ways. It's like, oh, I'm good, you know? You know, that's not what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to produce the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is these nine things. And so I want you to remember that as we go. The Holy Spirit is going to produce these things in you, and you're going to get to some of these, and you're going to get to maybe week 3, and you're going to go, boy, yeah, I'm really good at peace. I'm awesome at peace. But then week 4 is patience. And then you're going to go, oh, boy, yeah, I'm not so good at this one. The Holy Spirit is going to produce these, all 9 of these things in you. That's His desire. That's what He wants. And that's what we should want as well. But here's the deal. As He wants to produce these things in us, remember the series title is not the fruit, it's the vine. How do we then allow the Holy Spirit to produce these things? Because here's the deal. Like, if I set every one of you down, I brought you into my office, and I asked you a series of questions, I guarantee you, you'd probably give me the affirmative on these questions. If I said, are the fruit of the Spirit good things? You'd say yes. If I said, do you want to produce with the help of the Holy Spirit these things in your life? You say, yes. I'd ask you, when you have produced these things in your life through the Holy Spirit, has it been a good thing? Have you enjoyed it? Have the people around you enjoyed those things? You would say, yes. These are all things that we should desire. These are all ways that we want to live our lives. But unfortunately, sometimes we forget one of the most important first steps to actually let this happen. And we're going to find that in John 15. Again, I know these are scriptures that many of us have heard many, many times. But through the power of the Word, the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask and pray that God would just give you a fresh revelation of some things. So again, if you have your Bibles, now let's go to John 15. John 15, we're going to look at verses 1-8. Here's what it says. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we do thank you for this time and this opportunity to look at your word. And Father, your word is alive. It's sharper than any sword. And so, Father, we pray that as we look at these things, that God, we would be very aware of how easy it might be to think we've mastered these things, to think that we've figured all these things out. When God, there's still growth that you desire to do in me and us as we look at these things together. Father, I do believe that you have placed this series and this time, this message on my heart for this moment and this time. And God, I don't always understand why, but I'm trusting you, knowing that you have a plan and that your plan is perfect. So again, we thank you. Open our hearts to your word. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you look at John 15, if you study it quite a bit, you're going to start to notice something. And I don't know if you caught it as I was reading it to you, with you, but it's simply this. You start to see kind of almost like Jesus is kind of getting a little repetitive here. It's like he kind of says the same thing over and over again. And here's the deal. That's not on accident. That's on purpose, because Jesus is really trying to get us to get something here. He's trying to get us to understand something. And so as we really start looking at John 15, I want to start by looking deeper at a very vital word that Jesus uses a lot in this passage of Scripture. Okay? So in this passage of Scripture, the word Jesus uses here in the Greek is the word minnow. Okay? It's minnow. Jesus uses it 10 times in the first 10 verses of John 15. 10 times in 10 verses. Now, he doesn't use it every verse. Sometimes he uses it multiple times in verses, but he uses it 10 times. Now, listen, I don't know about you. I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer, okay? But if Jesus is starting to use something 10 times in 10 verses, he's probably helping us to understand this is a pretty important thing you get here, okay? He uses this word minnow. Now, the Greek word minnow is a verb that means to abide, remain, stay, or continue, okay? A lot of times, depending on the translation of Bible that you use, when you see in, we used the NIV this morning, but when you see that word remain, it's that word minnow. When you see the word abide, it's minnow. When you see that word stay or to continue, it's this idea of minnow. And so as Jesus is teaching this, as John is writing down what Jesus says, he says it over and over and over again. It's this idea that, hey, you know what, we better really pay attention to this. Because here's the thing. I think we all, if we talked about it earlier, if you came into my office, all of us would want this fruit in our lives. All of us would want to express these things to people in our world. And so Jesus is saying, listen, I want that too for you. The Father wants that for you. The Holy Spirit wants that for you. So how do we really allow the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in our lives? And Jesus says, minnow, 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 minnow. Abide, remain, continue. Stay close to me. And sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we think that somehow we're going to be able to produce fruit on our own without remaining or minnow, being minnow with Jesus. And here's the deal too. That's a verb. That's not a noun. A verb is an action word. To abide, to continue, to remain is something that you do. And a lot of us forget that sometimes. We think that somehow, magically, we can just abide with Jesus or remain in Jesus when Jesus says, no, it's an action. You have to continue in this. You have to work towards this. You have to not just sit there, but you actually have to action to stay close to me and to abide with me and to remain with me. Now, here's what's great about that. Here's the thing, because you hear that, like, oh, does that mean that Jesus is running? No, Jesus is there. Jesus is stationary in a lot of ways. We're the ones at times that tend to take a step back. We're the ones at times that kind of think, I'm going to go over here for a little while, or I'm going to go over here a little while. When in some ways, even that concept of stay, which seems to be, you know, like you get to your dog. You know, I don't know if you have a dog at home and you look at your dog and you say this, you say, stay. And we go, oh, look, that's there's no movement in that. Oh, there is. There is. That dog is sitting there and he's almost fighting every part of his body to not move. So even the stay idea is kind of this action of basically I am staying. I am purposely not moving away. Why does Jesus make such a big deal about this? Why does he talk about it 10 times in 10 verses? It's really simple, but it's so easy to forget. Remaining in the vine is required for reproducing fruit. It's not optional. And a lot of us, let's just be honest, myself included, we live like it's optional. We live like we have the ability to produce the kind of fruit that God wants to produce in us and through us on our own. And again, here's what I found in that. We'll go to God and maybe allow him. Remember we talked earlier about how everything, you know, oh, I'm maybe doing 3 out of 9 and I'm really good at those. So maybe we'll go to him for the 6 out of the 9 and we'll deceive ourselves thinking, I can handle the first 3 on my own. And we'll find that when we really look back, we have not been producing the type of fruit on the things that we thought we were good at. Because we're trying to do it on our own. And I know you've heard me say this a lot. I know I'm going to continue to say it a lot because this is just how my mind works. But there's always another side of the coin here. You see, remaining in the vine is required for producing fruit. But here's the deal. You need to get. And I think this is why Jesus was so adamant about bringing this up so many times because the other side of that coin is simply this: detachment from the vine always results in decay. And here's the deal. I could have used another D word that was a little more rough. The word is death. When you detach from the vine, decay will begin to set in. It's not optional. It's not, I can somehow stave it off. It's just how that works. Some of you have already begun to think about or even begun to get ready for the season of planting and spring and all the things you're going to plant in your garden and all those things. And listen, I don't have a green thumb. I don't understand all of it. In fact, most of the stuff that comes out of the garden, let's just be honest, I'm not even a big fan of eating. I like the things that eat the things in the garden, okay? You get what I'm saying? But I do know this. When my wife makes tomatoes, and I do like those homegrown tomatoes, those are good. But when she cuts it from the vine and sets it on the counter, slowly, but it's going to happen, decay will set in. Okay? Decay will set in. And some of us like this idea of basically, you know, I can kind of keep the decay away, but it always happens. And what happens when that decay begins to happen is we begin to do something that can also be just as detrimental to your life and mine as much as the decay is. And what begins to happen, unfortunately, in our hearts and our lives is we can begin to kind of produce some fake fruit. Now, I don't know if you guys experienced this growing up. I know I did, okay? But I would go to my grandparents' house. And so the grandma and grandpa had their house, and they were out on the farm and all this sort of stuff. And I don't know if you had one of these. I don't see them much anymore, okay? But I do remember this very vividly, that on the kitchen table, why, I do not know, but my grandparents had a bowl of fake fruit. Now, it was not wax, because I remember, you know, like wax fruit. You know, I remember, you know, my family starting to watch, because Easton likes it, I Love Lucy, and there's an episode where she bites into some wax fruit, you know. This was not wax fruit. This was updated wax fruit. It was plastic. And here's the deal. Like, it looked like real fruit if you were about a mile away. If anything closer than a mile, you could tell it wasn't fake. And here's the thing. It were grapes, and there was a banana, and apples, and it always didn't make any sense to me. Now, here's what I enjoyed about the fake fruit. I don't know why I did this. I don't know why I still like to do this a little bit. But like the grapes were squishy. Okay? And if you got really, you know, you could actually pull the grape off, you know, and then grandma would really get mad at you. You know, so you did that one time and then you never did it again because you wanted grandma to keep making chocolate cake. At least that's how I lived my life. Anyway, and so I remember just sitting there and squishing the grapes and squishing them. And here's the thing about fake fruit. Okay? From a distance, it can look real. From a distance, it can look like, hey, that's some real fruit. But here's the deal about fruit. Here's the thing about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is meant not just look pretty, not to just kind of be there and sit on your table of life. It is actually meant to nourish people and minister to people and make an impact. You see, here's the thing about the fruit of the Spirit. It's not wax. It's not there to just look pretty. And some of us live our lives in that way. We have detached from the vine, but we kind of say, you know what? How can I make my fruit look so good that you won't know? When I look at our world and our churches, can I just be honest with you? Church, big C. And then I see the world and how they respond to us. I wonder sometimes how they're getting maybe a little upset that our fruit isn't quite the real deal. You come and you experience those things, and especially if you're hungry and you look out and you go, look, there's some fruit, some juicy, nourishing fruit. And you walk up and you grab that grape and you realize it's plastic. You know what? I get kind of frustrated too. I get a little upset too. And listen, this matters, folks. Like, a lot of times we can think, you know, oh, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. When we're not in the vine, when we're not really producing the fruit that is authentic. But it matters a a lot. And listen, I'm going to read some scripture to show you. And it's sobering. It's not an easy scripture to talk about. But Jesus shared it. Look what he says in Matthew 7. This is important. Matthew 7, look at verses 21 to the first part of 23. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter." Listen, on judgment day, many, not some, many, these words matter. Many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name." But I will reply, "I never knew you." Like, listen, fear doesn't enter into this, okay? Because perfect love drives out all fear. But you need to understand something. This is serious stuff. This is not condemnation. This is conviction that the Holy Spirit wants to draw you and say to you, "Listen, is this you? Is this me?" Because here's the deal. We can produce in this scripture some very interesting fruit. Some fruit that on the outside looks pretty powerful, looks pretty impressive. But when it all comes down to it, Jesus looks at us and says, "Do I know you or not? Are you in the vine? Are you abiding and remaining in me? Or are you not?" We can produce sometimes some pretty decent looking fake fruit. And Jesus says, listen, do I know you? Do you know me? How do we answer that question in the affirmative? We remain in the vine. We stay close to him. Listen, this is important. It is sobering to know that you can be in the vineyard and still not be connected to Jesus. Sobering. Something to think about. And here's the deal. I use that word vineyard on purpose. Because in Scripture, when you look at the idea of vineyard, that's the idea of a lot of times like the place where the work gets done. When you look at Scripture, and Scripture talks that Jesus talks a lot of parables about vineyards, and it's not a place of inactivity. It's a place of activity. And for some of us, you know, in some ways, we can get so busy doing the things of the Lord that we really don't know the Lord. And that's something that we all have to answer for ourselves. That's something we all have to think about for ourselves. Again, not to go, oh no, but to go, "Lord, do I really know you? Do you really know me? Am I abiding? Am I remaining in the vine?" Because here's the deal. I want, and I think God wants us to do great things in his name. But what does it prosper a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And so Jesus is trying to get us to see that. He's trying to help us to remember and to know him in a deeper way and remain in him. So to close out this morning, we need to look at how to do that. How do we really do that? And again, listen, I know that some of these things are really going to be basic. I get it. But part of me needs to really ask the question for you and me, even though it's basic, are we doing it? Are we living this way? Because listen, I don't want you, I don't want me to get in front of the Lord one day and him to go, "Who are you?" I don't want to look at him and go, but. I did this, I did that, I did all these things. Listen, I was this, I was that. And Jesus says, I don't know who you are. I want to remain in him. I want to be a part of what he wants to do in me and through me. So to kind of close out this morning, we need to look at three responsibilities that we have to assume to remain in Jesus. Three responsibilities. And again, I know that some of these are going to be very basic, But sometimes the basic things are the things we need to be reminded of and really make sure that we are doing them and make sure that we are staying connected to Him. Number one, three responsibilities. Number one, presence. Presence. What do I mean when I say that? What I mean is we have a responsibility to cultivate our hearts for His presence. We have a responsibility to cultivate our hearts for His presence. We need to make room for Jesus. Because here's the thing. When you think about remaining, that means we're close. That means that we're not off kind of doing our other things in other situations. And sometimes in our lives, we can get so busy with other things that we have not made room for the presence of the Lord in our lives. And here's the deal. Again, very simply, we do that several different ways. But we need to first look at this. John 15. And we're going to go back to this John 15 a little bit in a couple of these verses. But this is what it says. While every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now you go, okay, Aaron, why are you using that verse? Emily, if you want to leave it up for just a second, I want to show you something here. The word clean and the word prune is basically the same word in the original text. So in this idea of cleaning and pruning, what God is really trying to get us to see, what Jesus is wanting us to see, is basically this idea that He is trying to cultivate our hearts and get them ready for what He wants to do in us. It's this idea that basically He's coming and He's refining you and He's refining me to accept the presence that He wants to have in our hearts and in our lives. And Jesus does this in several different ways. First of all, He does it through His word. Through spending time in His word, by studying His word, by looking at it, by allowing it to penetrate our hearts and then actually doing what it says. It's one of the ways that He has to, that He does that cleaning and that refining and that pruning in you and in me. Let me ask you something. How are you doing in that area? How are you doing in your looking in God's word and studying God's word? Not just grabbing something and going, okay, here's my verse of the day and reading my verse and off and we go. But really looking at what God's word says and then letting it be a lifeline to you. Let it be a light that illuminates your path. Let it be something that you apply in your heart and in your life. My son did something that he was kind of scared about about a week ago, and he did a great job. I'm so proud of him. But in his gym class, of all classes to do this in, it was his gym class, he did a devotion. And he comes home and he goes, Dad, I'm supposed to give a devotion in gym class. And you know, there's a part of me that was kind of like, and I was like, you know, that's not right. You know, he's only making Easton go first because, you know, He's my son. I had Jesus forgive me for that. But, you know, I got a little, like, upset about it, you know. And so I said, well, what do you want to do? And he goes, well, I want to do this verse. And so we sat down and we talked about it. And he began to say, I said, Easton, what do you see here? What do you see? What's Jesus trying to help us to understand? Well, I think He's helping us understand this and that. And we worked through those things. And then I said, okay, now what do we do? How do we apply this? How do we take these things and actually let them help us in our lives? Well, we need to do this, where He helps us do that. Listen, I wish I could show up at whatever time you get up or whatever time you spend time with the Lord, but maybe let that just kind of be what those, you know, and help you in that. But that's kind of how we do this. It's more than just reading God's word, but it's really going, what is God really wanting me to understand about this? How can I apply this to my life? It's like almost like, listen, pretend that you have a devotion to make in gym class every day and make sure you're ready for those things. So we obviously have to start that cultivating, that cleaning, that pruning starts with word, God's word, but it also continues with our prayer time with Him, with spending deep times of communication with Jesus. Paul talks about it. We pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that you have to be praying all the time, but it's an ongoing conversation with the Lord. Ongoing. Not necessarily in a specific time, even though that's a good idea to have, but just throughout the day, throughout your time, Lord, be with me. Lord, help me. Be a part of this. God, as I move into this meeting, or I go into this discussion, or I go into this classroom, or I go into this business, God, use me. Help me. Speak through me, Lord. Help me to love like I need to love. God, help me to honor who I need to honor, or whatever it might be. And let it be something that just allows you to be cultivated by the Holy Spirit. Because here's the deal, you know, we talk about this a lot. You know, we talked about it just last week and throughout our series, you know, about honor and loving and doing all those things. Listen, it's really hard to dishonor someone after you've just prayed for them. Be praying. So God's word and prayer. And then another one, okay, that I think I'm understanding a little bit more and more, that I want to be a part of my life and I want it to be a part of yours. And here's the deal. Like, I'm going to say this word and some of you are going to take a moment. You're going to kind of go, and that's because the world has taken it and twisted it. So I'm going to use the word on purpose, even though I can use a different word, because I want us to reclaim what is ours in God. Okay? And that's the word meditate. You hear that word now and it's, oh, somebody's got a rock and they're rubbing it. No. Okay? That's how the enemy has twisted this idea of meditating on the Lord. Scripture tells us that I meditate on your word day and night. What does it really mean? You see, in our understanding today, if you talk to maybe somebody on the street about what meditation is or should be, meditation is this idea of detaching ourselves from our present situation and our present world. When we understand what meditation is in Scripture, it is not about detaching, it is about attaching to Jesus and the Lord. And so how do we meditate? We think on the Lord. We think about the Lord's characteristics. We think about what the Lord has done. We get in our car, we drive down the road, we look up and we see the mountains or the creation. Maybe it's the fall and the leaves are changing. And we meditate on the unbelievable creativity of our God. The beauty of what He has created, what He has done in you and in me. One of the reasons that it's so important that we share what God is doing in our lives is so that we can meditate on it. We can say, Lord, I am just so thankful that you're doing this in this individual's life. Thank you for that. God, you're so good in that. And here's the deal. Some of us, our prayer and our Bible reading is kind of confined to a 15-minute period every day. And listen, if that's what you're doing, good deal. Awesome job. But listen, listen. Don't just leave it there. Let the prayer, let the meditation, let the Word of God be a part of all of your life. Every part of it. Put on some worship music. You're in the car, you're in the kitchen making dinner. Put a little worship music on. Put something on that's edifying to you, where that God uses it to prune and uses it to clean and uses it to bring you closer to Him. Remaining in Jesus is not a Sunday morning activity. It is a lifestyle that we need to allow to come in, that we need to allow to have in our heart and our lives. And listen, here's the deal. I put it down on paper so you could have it and remember it. You are where you are in your spiritual walk with God because you made the Word of God, prayer, and meditating on God a priority in your life. You are where you are, spiritually speaking. You want to grow in Him. You want to remain in Him. Get in the Word, get in prayer, and get in meditating on what God has done and what God will do. Let those things become spiritual disciplines in your life that you cultivate and that you allow God to bring you closer to Him and closer to His presence. Number two, dependence. Dependence. Look what it says in John 15. Jesus spells it out very simply for us. He says simply this: apart from me, you can do some things. Apart from me, you can every once in a while, you know, kind of blind squirrel finds a nut situation, right? That's what it says. Nothing. Nothing. You want to produce fruit. You can't do it apart from God. You can't. Okay? You can't. Listen, our dependence on Him is vital. for us to produce fruit that will point people back to Jesus. Listen, here's something I've learned as I've gotten older. You know, and it's interesting how we live our lives. You know, it's interesting physically how things go, because think about it for a second. When we are born, we are completely and totally dependent on other people, aren't we? Totally and completely. Like we can't, if basically you were born and you were sat there, you would not last long by yourself. You would have to have others help you. And here's what's interesting. As we grow, as we get older, then we typically, especially when we're not ready for that, we think we can do it on our own, don't we? We think as we get a little bit older, like all of a sudden, you know, like, hey, I can tie my shoe. Hey, I can make toast. I'm not so dependent on mom and dad. And we kind of get to that point, and all of a sudden we think, hey, I'm good. I kind of know it all. Don't you remember the shirts? Don't you remember the posters? At least they were around when I was a kid, which I thought was very annoying at the time. But, you know, something to the effect of, quick, move out, you know, do all these things while you still know everything, you know, to the teenagers. Remember that? I was very annoyed by that. You know why? Because I was one of those teenagers that thought I knew it all. I thought I had figured it out. But here's what I've learned. Spiritually speaking, the older I've gotten spiritually, the more I have realized how much I need Jesus. You would think they would be the opposite of that, wouldn't you? You'd think as we grow and mature in the Lord, like we kind of come to this place like, I kind of need Jesus less and less and less. Listen, I talk about these things a lot. You want to know what a barometer or a thermometer is for your spiritual walk and your maturity? How much do you understand your need for Him? Because if your need for Him is actually growing, your maturity usually is as well. But if your independence is growing, you probably aren't growing much in Him. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. Nothing of eternal value. Maybe I can produce some pretty convincing fake fruit. Maybe I can fool you. Maybe you can fool me. But one day, the fruit that's real and the fruit that isn't is going to be looked at with some very close scrutiny. We need Him. We need Him. I remember several years ago, as a youth pastor, I was talking to, and I hadn't been a youth pastor very long, and I was talking to one of the kids, and we were just talking, and we actually had a prayer time. It was a Wednesday night, and we were praying, and after things had got over, this young man and I began to talk, and he really just was opening his heart to me. He's a really great guy, and he just said, Aaron, I really have a problem with dependence on God. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, like we're taught and we're kind of, you know, our culture, you know, we need to be independent. We need to stand on our own two feet. We need to do this on our own and all these sort of things. And we had a really good talk about how sometimes things that we're taught from a place of, hey, you know, be on your own, be independent, can actually be counterproductive in our spiritual walks. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. And I've learned that that is not a weakness. We need Him to produce the fruit that we need to produce. Be dependent on Jesus. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And He will help you as we depend on Him. Number three and the last one. It's again, real simple here, but real hard to do. Obedience. In 1 John, this is what he writes. He says, chapter 2, verse 3 through 6, it says, we know that we have come to know Him. Now that's interesting, because we just talked about how we know, and He knows us. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar. and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Isn't that interesting? It's almost like John here in his letter is hearkening back to the words of Jesus when Jesus said, minnow, minnow, minnow. And he says, listen, whoever claims to live in him, remain in him, continue in him, abide in him, must live as Jesus did. How did Jesus live? A life of obedience, even obedience, as it says in Philippians, to death on a cross. Obedience is one of those things that's not always easy to talk about. We love to obey when God does it our way, but can you obey when you don't understand? Can you obey when it doesn't make sense? Can you obey because you have discovered that, you know what, God's ways are better than my ways? You see, sometimes you need to understand this. Obedience and dependence really can go hand in hand. The more independent you are, the more you think you got it figured out, the harder sometimes it is to obey what God's asked you to do. Because your way is better. You've got it figured out. Dependence and obedience come together so beautifully. It's almost like a God who understands it all put them together because he did. He did. And so it even harks back to the idea of presence. Because how do we know what to do? How do we know what to obey? It's what God's word says. It's what God tells us through those moments of meditation and prayer. All of these things are building together. They all work so well in harmony together to help us remain in the vine. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing that I've seen over and over and over again. Some of us may actually know what God says and what we should do, but we don't necessarily want to do it. We won't live out the life of obedience. But here's the deal. You need to get this. I mean, this is real simple. A real simple statement. Truth discovered must be truth obeyed. Truth discovered must be truth obeyed. Listen, our churches, again, capital C, are full of people who know what Jesus has said. I don't know if we have the same number who are actually doing what Jesus told us to do. And again, that's not condemnation. That's God saying, we need to look at this. I want to convict you to bring you home. I want to draw you closer to me. And so in your life and in my life, the question is not how much do you know? The question is how much do you obey in a lot of times, in a lot of ways. And here's the deal. Sometimes it's tough to remain. Sometimes when it comes to the presence, we don't do it all that well. When it comes to dependence, we revert back to kind of independence. We don't always obey. I get it. I do it too. But God is saying, he's calling us back. And he's saying, listen, remember all the way back to what Jesus said in John 15. It is the Father's will that you produce much fruit. How do we do that? How does the Spirit produce that? We remain in the vine. We remain in him. We cultivate that presence and dependence and obedience in our lives. We don't just see if it magically happens that we abide. We purposely take action to make that so. And here's the deal. When there are moments and times, because they'll happen, they always sometimes do, where we kind of go, you know what? Oh my goodness, I kind of look at my life, and kind of look at what's going on, and I've kind of detached. You go, Aaron, how do I know if I've detached? Simple, decay. Look for the decay. Listen, when you go over and you are going to make something for dinner, and if you don't do this, please start doing it, okay? I was making dinner last night, okay? And I was making meatball sliders. Yeah, not a hint of vegetable in it. Anyway, meatball sliders. And so I can only make a certain, like, you know, four or five things. So, I mean, that was my night. So I was making meatball sliders, and I'm getting them all ready. And I got the meatballs all made, homemade, none of this going to the grocery store and buying it because I am crazy. I probably ought to just go buy them. But anyway, I get them all made up and I'm all putting them on the rolls. I'm like, oh, you know, you can't have meatball sliders without mozzarella cheese. So I go to the refrigerator and I open up the refrigerator and I pull it out and I pull out the cheese. And you know what? I looked at that mozzarella cheese. And I'm not sure how this works, but it kind of was like, I didn't think we had mozzarella cheese anymore. We had blue cheese. Now, you know what I could have done? Emily was upstairs. Easton was upstairs. I was all alone in the kitchen. Nobody would have known. I could have chopped that up, and I could have put it on the sandwiches. I could have put it on one little side, you know, and then served that side to them. Because I am that horrible of a person. But here's the deal. I didn't just take out the cheese and go, it says mozzarella on it, I'm just going to put it on there. I inspected the cheese. And I found decay. Now, here's what I could have done, okay? I could have done a couple of things. I could have said, well, you know what? Fine. Obviously, my wife did not get me the things I needed to produce for her and my son the proper ingredients for the meatball sliders. So therefore, I will take all my meatball sliders and I will take them outside and I will throw them in the garbage. I didn't do that. I could have said this. I could have said, well, fine. You know, you don't have any mozzarella cheese and you're going to have plain old meatballs without any cheese on them. I could have served that. And when I served that, where's the cheese? I could have said, you know what? You didn't help me. You didn't provide for me. You didn't do what I needed you to do so I could do this. Didn't do that either. I went back to the refrigerator. I pulled out. And guess what we had? We had a whole bunch of those string cheeses. So I kind of got those, and I'm pulling them apart, and I'm trying to lay them all out. Yeah, it worked. It worked. It was good. They lied to me so well and told me it was delicious, you know. They're very sweet now. The question is, as you look at your life, are you willing to look for the decay? And listen, I know it's not easy to look for the decay. And because it's not easy, we have the Holy Spirit who comes and will help us find it. You don't even have to find your own decay, folks. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus loves you so much and desires you to grow in him so much and wants you to be in the vine so much. Like some of us will look, oh God, that's just so horrible that you would find my faults, that you would find the things in my life where there is decay. Oh no, 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 that is such a sign of love. That's your Lord saying, I love you and I have something so much better for you. So much better. So much better. Will you come and let me? You know, and listen, maybe it'll be how you don't expect. Maybe God will grab out some string cheese and start using that and just, you know, and it'll work. I don't always know. But for some of us, there's some decay because we've kind of stepped away from the vine a little bit. And God has brought you here or brought you online or whenever you may or may be watching this, not because he's upset with you, but because he loves you. And he says, listen, it is my desire that you produce much fruit. And listen, as we get into this over the next several weeks, I promise you this, you're going to want this fruit in your life. The people in your life are going to need you to have this fruit in your life. You got to get in the vine. And if there's some decay there, let's let the Lord deal with it. Let's make sure that we are doing what we need to do and abiding so that he can do in us what he desires to do. So I have a simple question as we close this morning. Simple question that we and I need to ask ourselves. Not just today, but throughout this series. Because here's the deal. Everything we're going to talk about moving forward from this series will not happen in your life the way God wants it to if you missed this week and don't do these things. Okay? And this is what God has for you and for me. The question is this. Will you commit to remain in His presence, to live in dependence, and to continue in obedience. Will you do that? Because here's the deal. I promise you, the fruit of the Spirit are some good fruit. God is so good, and He wants us to experience these things. And here's what happens in a moment like this. I'm telling you right now, the enemy is starting to whisper. The enemy is starting to say, you know, how terrible you are because you haven't done this or done that, or because you haven't lived this way or that way. Listen, don't, that's not of God. What God is doing is drawing you to Himself, and He wants to do some work in your heart. Okay? He wants to cut away some of that decay, where what the enemy is whispering is for you to run from God. God is calling you close to Him because He loves you. He wants you back in that vine. And here's the other thing. You say, Aaron, you know what? I'm living in the vine. I'm doing that. I'm doing a good job. And that's awesome. I'm proud of you. Way to go. But here's what I've learned as well about being in the vine. There's no such thing as getting more, remaining more, and continuing more, and remaining and abiding more. You know, the vine isn't this, okay, I'm in, and that's enough. It's like God just keeps drawing us closer and closer and closer and closer to His presence, to being in Him. Let's all close our eyes. We're going to close. I asked a real simple question that really has a real simple answer. Will you remain in His presence? Will you live in dependence? Live dependently? And will you continue in obedience? You go, Aaron, is it really that big of a deal? Aaron, I've heard John 15, 1,500 times. I get it. And I'll make you a deal. I promise you this. When I start doing it perfectly and you start doing it perfectly, we'll stop talking about it. So just so you know, I know me, and we're going to keep talking about it. But in this moment, I think the Holy Spirit really wants to look and see if there's any decay. Is there any area of our lives where we've kind of disconnected from Jesus? Is there any area in our hearts where we've kind of decided we can handle it on our own? Are there areas where we go, you know what, I'm really good at obeying God in this area, but not in this one? You know, I'm real good at reading my Bible, and I do it every day, but, you know, I really don't take the time to apply it to my life. God and Jesus and His Holy Spirit kind of, to me, is more of a Sunday thing, and then Monday comes along, and I really don't think much about God anymore. Wherever you're at, whatever decay possibly has been growing in your heart and in your life, Jesus can deal with. Jesus wants to deal with it. Jesus wants you and me to produce some great fruit. The Holy Spirit does it, and we abide in Jesus to see it happen. So over the next several weeks, we're going to look at what the Holy Spirit does and what He produces in you and me. But the question every week will have to be the same. Am I abiding so the Holy Spirit can produce these things in me? And remember, not just one of the nine, all nine. All nine. Every single one that God wants to do. And He doesn't look at you and say, basically, get going, get working, get producing. He says, will you abide? Will you remain in me? Will you produce the fruit? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit that I want to produce in you by abiding? Will you do these things to abide? So here's what I'd like to do just to kind of close it all out. If there is one or two or maybe all three, I mean, you know, we all struggle at times. It's okay. And you just feel like, you know what? There's some decay there. And here's the deal. Maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking and he's saying, you know, hey, you know, it's something a little bit different. I don't know. We let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do and show us what he wants us to show us. But I feel like in a lot of ways, there may be some decay in our lives. I mean, we could have just started right in with the first fruit of the Spirit. We could have just started in with love and just ran off with this. And it was just like, no. No, it's got to start with the vine. It's got to start with the vine. Why? Because it always starts with Jesus. Always starts with him. And if we just started in the fruit of the Spirit and we just started talking about all these things and our lives still had decay in them, we wouldn't produce the fruit that God wants us to produce. And remember, God wants us to produce much fruit. We got to start with the decay that may have grown or may have be inside of us. And here's what's beautiful. Scripture does not teach us that to get back in the vine, we got to do crazy things or walk from here to New York City. We simply have to return to him. We simply have to acknowledge, you know what, God? I've kind of got out of the vine a little bit. Ask for forgiveness, and Scripture teaches that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to wipe it away. That's what he wants to do with our sin and our decay, is wipe it away. As far as the east is from the west. He wants you to come a little bit closer, abide a little bit more, remain a little bit more, and to allow him to eradicate those areas in your life that have begun to grow instead of your relationship with him. So whatever that is, as I pray with you and for you, pray for yourself, please. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to him. Say, you know what, Lord, I've had little decay in this area. I'm not abiding like I need to, and I understand that. And I know that your great love is calling me home to be a little bit more in you. And I don't want anything to keep me from doing that. So bring it to him. Sometimes in these moments, listen, when it comes to application, this is the first step of application. We don't do this time. We don't just end our service. We give you time to respond to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus. And you can sit there and just be thinking about lunch, or you can look to him and allow him to do in your life what he wants to do, depending on him to forgive and to change us. And he will. So whatever that area is, will you pray with me as I pray with you and for you? Father, we come to you right now. And God, we're so thankful for the fruit of your Spirit. We're so thankful all nine of these unbelievable gifts that you have desired and will produce in our lives. You have not asked us to produce them. You have asked us to remain in you. And then when we do that, we will produce fruit. You will work those things through us into our world. But Jesus, if we're honest, sometimes our abiding is conditional. Our abiding is not consistent. And when we detach ourselves, decay will start to grow. And sometimes it can go real, real fast, depending on what it is. And so Jesus, I know in my life there are areas that there is some decay in. I know that for many of us, as we have allowed your Holy Spirit to show us, you have illuminated some decay in them as well. And so Jesus, for me and for us, Father, I bring that decay to you. And God, I pray that you would cleanse me, that you would prune me, that you would draw me close, and that you would forgive me of those things so that I can produce much fruit. I want to abide with you. I want to remain and continue with you. And I don't want anything, God, to hinder that in my life or in theirs. So Jesus, we're thankful. I'm thankful because I know I've been forgiven. I know that you have eradicated that decay. And Father, I, for myself personally, God, help me to continue in you. Help me to foster that presence and that dependence and that obedience so that I can remain in the vine and for your glory produce much, much wonderful fruit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you desire to produce in us these things. And I pray that not just through this series, obviously through this series, but throughout the rest of our lives, we would be so aware of where we are abiding so that one day when we stand before Jesus, he doesn't say to us, I don't know who you are. He says, well done. Well done. We love you and we thank you. You're so good. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, again, thank you so much for being here. For those that are online, we love you. We hope that you're doing well. Hope you all have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.